Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Our nation, as well as the world, is in shock again after a terrible mass shooting took place in Florida, where many students and teachers were killed by a mentally deranged individual. And of course, there's a lot of discussion right now as to who is to be blamed for this, and the finger-pointing is going on. I'd like to take this opportunity to begin with by quoting to you from two comments which I felt were quite remarkable, which were made, one by Megyn Kelly, a former Fox moderator, now a NBC moderator, and that's what she said according to Breitbart, dated February 15. There have been at least 12 school shootings in America so far in 2018. I do not believe in a single one of these politicians. I do not believe any of them have the courage it takes to push through reform. And she's talking about meaningful reform. And as I recently pointed out in a Standing Watch program, I do not believe any of those politicians either. The article, the comments go on to say, 5 years ago, I was live on the air and pregnant with my third child when 20 first graders were shot to death in school in Connecticut. Since Newtown, Connecticut, there have been nearly 300 school shootings in America, about one a week. Are we really going to loosen the standards for involuntary commitment in this country? Even if we could pay for that, good luck convincing the ACLU that it's legal. And then there are the guns. And most of the gun reforms that will be proposed in the wake of this shooting will be utterly meaningless and would not have even arguably prevented the killing. The NRA is too powerful and our politicians are too weak. Guess how many guns there are in America? Do you know? Over 300 million. They say 6 to 10 million guns like the one used in Florida. There was no AR-15 at Virginia Tech, and that remains the worst school shooting in U.S. history. 32 dead, and nothing changed. In the meantime, my children, like yours, have to practice hiding in the bathroom to avoid an active shooter and don't even think about letting the teacher lead a prayer to get them through that moment because the guns are perfectly legal, but the prayers are not. I found these comments quite remarkable. But then there is another lengthy article which was published by the Daily Mail on February 15, written by British journalist and moderator Piers Morgan. Now, we have taken many excerpts from this article and published them in our weekly updates. I don't have the time to read all of those to you, but I'm just taking a few excerpts from those excerpts, and this is what Piers Morgan wrote. Remember when a 9-year-old girl accidentally shot dead her instructor? She had fired and lost control of a submachine gun, one of the most dangerous high-powered weapons in the world. I mean, no rational human being could possibly think that putting such a hideous killing machine in the hands of a little girl is anything other than complete madness. Wrong. A lot of Americans, tens of millions of them, in fact, think it's perfectly okay. The shooter in Florida was too young to be allowed to buy a beer. In a state, like many in the U.S., which has zero tolerance alcohol laws. But he was legally able to buy a semi-automatic military-style rifles. He passed a background check when purchasing his gun. This despite the fact he had been treated for mental illness. When I interviewed President Trump in Davos at the World Economic Forum, I told him, only 8 people were killed in America last year by Islamist terrorism. By comparison, domestic gun violence killed at least 32,000. 130 people were killed in Paris, a terrible toll. but around a quarter of the number of people killed by guns in America every week. Britain has a number of Islamist terror attacks in 2017, but the total death toll was smaller, 35, than the number murdered by guns in America every day. Current US gun laws are so lax, even terror suspects on the no-fly list are allowed to buy firearms. Now, so far those comments. There are a lot more I could quote, but this will suffice. One aspect, however, before I go on, is totally being overlooked in the mass media. A very short, brief article by the Daily Mail dated February 17 points it out. It says, this mentally deranged person told authorities that voices in his head told him how to carry out the shooting. So not only was he mentally disturbed, he was obviously demon-influenced, if not demon-possessed. Now, of course, you're not getting demon-influenced or demon-possessed unless you open up your mind to those demonic influences, and that's exactly what has happened in this case. Now, some reforms might go through. Will they substantially change the situation? The answer is no. They will not. They will not because these reforms, if they get through, are not radical enough. I'll give you an example for a radical reform, which is really not that radical if you think about it. Now, you could go as far as Australia saying we are banning all weapons. But what about the concept that you need proof as to why you need a weapon, like is the case in most other civilized countries in Europe, even in Israel? You can't just get a weapon by walking into a store and buying one and then having a dubious background check. No, you have to have a license, like you have to have a license in order to drive a car. In Germany, you call that Waffenschein. You have to prove as to why you need a weapon. And most people wouldn't be able to prove that. But even that wouldn't be radical enough because there still will be lots of weapons around and many can get them illegally. Now, some even go so far as to say we need more weapons rather than less. In other words, teachers should have weapons. College students should have weapons so that they can, quote-unquote, defend themselves against a perpetrator. You know what Jesus Christ is telling those? And if you're listening to me, if you're a teacher, if you're a college student, think about it. He said to Peter, when he thought that he had to take the sword to defend him, put your sword away. Everyone who takes the sword shall perish by sword. You know, if you think as a teacher you can defend yourself and the students by using your gun, you might be the first one who's going to die, and many students under your protection will die as well. That's what Jesus Christ is telling you. You see, you cannot make a right out of two wrongs. That is not the correct approach. You know, in the millennium, when Jesus Christ has returned, things will drastically change. It says that people will take their guns and they throw them away, or better yet, they are transforming them into instruments of agriculture, useful instruments. I was quite impressed to see a few people taking their guns now, destroying them, in order to give a message, the message being, let's get rid of those guns. Of course, this is not going to change much because far too many in this country have a morbid idealization towards guns, almost like worshiping them, saying, oh, well, the Second Amendment guarantees me the right to have a gun, so I'll have a gun, even though many lawyers and even courts have found that the Second Amendment doesn't do anything of the kind. However, the United States Supreme Court has never addressed the issue, and politicians are not willing to address that issue either. No, it has to be of the spirit if he wants to save the flesh, as General MacArthur once said so correctly. Our outlook has to change. We have to come to the point where we have to understand that fighting in war, or having a gun for our protection, or using a gun for whatever means is wrong. Now, I'm not talking about hunters in this day and age. I'm not addressing those. I am addressing, however, those who go out on a safari trip in order to kill animals for sports and having a trophy. Now, that's abominable in the eyes of God. But I'm talking about the ordinary citizen. Why does he have to have a gun to, quote-unquote, protect himself? What happened to our faith and our belief in God? Aren't we a Christian nation? Aren't we those who are supposed to rely on God to protect us? How many of you parents, how many of you students, how many of you teens and maybe even smaller kids, before you go to school each day, are you praying to God for protection? Are you praying to God that your loved ones will be protected in school so that nothing crazy is going to happen to them? And do you believe that God is going to answer your prayer, or does it all mean nothing to you? That's a question, my friends, you have to ask yourselves. And if you get to that approach, that you don't want to use weapons anymore, that you don't want to fight in war anymore, as the book of Isaiah explains to you in the second chapter, then you are reaching the point where you can make a drastic change for yourselves. But in the millennium, the whole world will believe and think that way. We have prepared a free booklet, Should You Fight in War? And that booklet also goes into the issue of having guns in your home, and for what purpose, and are you allowing your children to have access to them? All of this is so important if you really want to make a change for your own lives. We know we can make a change for the entire nation, because the nation needs to have a change of heart and a change of mind, and that's not happening now. But it is going to happen in the millennium, when Jesus Christ rules this earth, when he comes to make an end to all wars and all violence. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.